Welcome to the Relentless Minds podcast with Lori Jimenez, a platform where influential entrepreneurs get real and share their stories of challenges in life that they've had to face head on and conquer in order to be where they are today. Here, you'll get an inside look at the adversities that these individuals have experienced or are currently dealing with, in addition to their opinions on real life matters and philosophies in life. Most importantly, you'll learn what it takes to have a relentless mind so that you too can stay headstrong in your pursuit of a better future. In this podcast, you're going to get 100% authenticity from people that have figured out how to beat the noise that society creates and have a higher level of self-mastery. Hi, welcome back to my podcast, Relentless Minds. Today I have with me Ryan Blakely. Ryan Blakely was born and raised in Maryland and was previously a member of the SWAT team in Charleston County for 6 years before he switched gears and started his own company. He is currently the CEO of Skulls and Barbells Training Apparel, LMLML, which stands for Let Me Live My Life, and My Body, My Lifestyle. So these are four different companies that Ryan is the CEO of. Thank you so much for being here today with me, Ryan.
Of course, absolutely. I'm happy to be here.
So first of all, I kind of want you to go over all these companies. Okay. So that's a lot. That's a lot you have on your plate right now.
So it actually all started with the training side, Skulls and Barbells. So I used to compete myself from 2004 till 2010. And actually on top of that, I just finished competing about 9 or 10 weeks ago after a 10-year hiatus off stage, which was pretty interesting. But with doing all of that competing myself, you know, as I was very involved in all that, of course, you know, when your friends see your body changing and transforming and they see everything you're trying to do and then they finally see the end product up on stage, everybody kind of wants to, you know, if they're interested in that type of fitness, they want to also do it as well. So I had a lot of people that came to me, hey, can you help coach me? Can you do this? And I started coaching a couple of my friends, just lightly, like nothing crazy. And I, you know, let everybody know, look, I've never coached before. Like, I've done it and I can help you, but like, don't expect to go up there and win. Like, I don't know it like that.
You did it for yourself.
So I did it for myself, actually. Right? So when people are trying to, you know, pull it from you, it's like, hey, I'm not a coach. I'm just a competitor as well. Yeah, but like, you're my boy. Like, I'll help you, see what we can do.
Disclaimer.
So the first year that I got into coaching, you know, and well, I guess I'll backtrack a little bit. I started just helping people, just friends and friends, just here and there. And then when I finally moved to Arlington, I started actually prepping people for shows. And I had a friend of mine I worked with in the Diplomatic Security Command Center in Roslyn. And he was like, hey, man, like, I know we've been training together. I really want to get into competing. Like, can you help me? And of course, I gave him the same spiel. Like, like, I can help you, but like, that's not what I do, you know? So I did. He ended up getting first place in his first show. And then at that point, you know, some other people were like, hey, I saw what you did with Mike. Can you come and help me? And so I started like loosely helping coach other people. Now, meanwhile, I had a full-time job at this point. And it just started going, you know, or getting more and more and more inquiries. And the second show that I end up prepping some people for is I had a girlfriend of mine at the time and some of her friends that all wanted to compete. So my girlfriend obviously lived with me at the time, so she had no option. She couldn't cheat. She had a bottle plan. Like, see, and I was like right there on her the whole time. So she ends up winning novice and open for bikini class, and the other three girls that I had that competed with her all placed top five.
Wow.
So that they were all bikini girls at that point. So then every bikini girl that was there was wondering, who's your coach? Who's your team? Who's this? Who's that? And that's kind of how I really got started, because that show right there really threw a lot of people at me. And it actually, the majority of the girls that I got were guys, or people that I got were girls that were interested in bikini. So right off the rip, I became like the bikini guru. So a lot of the girls I still have, or athletes I still have to this day, are majority are bikini athletes. So that's kind of how the training side got started. And you know, coming from law enforcement, and you know, I went to an all guys Catholic high school. I went to a military college, so I was very uniformed my whole life. And for me, coaching, I was like, well, it's cool that everybody looks awesome, but like, when we go to these events and we go to these shows, you know, if one guy's wearing all Under Armour and they have this girl wearing all Nike, and then another girl wearing half Adidas and half whatever, it's like, it's just kind of ragtag. So I was like, we need to have like uniforms. Like, if we're a team, we should look like a team.
I like it.
So out of pocket, I bought like some hats and some shirts and some robes for the girls. I kind of wanted to like outfit the team so we could kind of all, you know, when we walk into a show, everybody knows who we are. And it was funny because the first show that I actually gave everybody the team gear, mm-hmm. My athletes at the time asked if I would come down to one of the rooms the night before our big show for this like team meeting. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, look, I call the team meeting. It's like, I'm the coach. Mm-hmm. What do y'all mean you're calling a team meeting? Mm-hmm. So I go down there and they basically brought me down because they presented me this like coach's hoodie. So it was like the first thing that I ever got from like the team. Yes. And it was like super dope because I gave them all these uniforms.
Yeah.
And they gave me this like hoodie. I still have it to this day. I wear it all the time. And it said like coach on it. It had skulls and barbells on the. So they like went behind awesome. My back and got all these logos and everything and then made it and surprised me. So it was like super cool. But the point of all that was this whole build up and all the training. Once we started getting the hats and the shirts mm-hmm. and the hoodies and the robes and everything else, whenever we would go to these shows, everyone would be like, oh, dude, that's like a dope hat. Can I get it? Can I get a shirt? Can I get this? Can I get that? And I'm like, nah, man. Like, if you want this, you have to join the team. This is like team gear. You don't just give this out to anybody. Well, after this went on for a long period of time, the first year, the second year, we found like, you know what? Like, we should do apparel. Everybody wants it. We might as well. So then we opened up Skulls and Barbells Apparel. So that was the second LLC that we created. We end up doing the apparel side. So then you have Skulls and Barbells Training Services.
Yeah.
Then you have Skulls and Barbells Apparel. And that was going on for, I guess, about 2 years. And then after that, I actually ended up getting a shirt made that was just for me. And it was an all-black shirt. And it had gold LMLML across it for Let Me Live My Life.
Yeah.
Because I used to always say that all the time. Everyone would say something because I'd like to live very outside the box. Mm-hmm. Like, if society says this is how you should do it, then I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I'm going to go this route and do it this way because I just, you know, you got to think about it again. Yeah. My whole life, all guy Catholic school, coat and tie, everybody wore the same thing. Went to the Citadel Military College in South Carolina. Yeah. Everybody wears the same thing. Then I was a cop. Everybody wears the same uniform.
And regulated.
So I'm literally, like, exactly. Crazy. So my whole life, you know, I'm in the same spectrum as everybody else. Same uniform, same this, same that, same everything. So it finally started breaking out on my own. And when I became a police officer, I kind of started seeing a lot of different stuff. And I was like, man, like, nothing, you don't have to be the same as everybody else. Like, you can kind of be your own thing. So that's kind of where that all started.
Yeah.
So I used to always comment when someone's like, well, you can't do that, or why you do this, or why do you do that? I'm like, bro, like,
just let me live my life, man.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I didn't come up with the phrase. I'm sure that phrase has been around forever, but it's a phrase that I've always used. And so I got this shirt made just for me. It's more of like a joke with everybody. And that was when Snapchat was really big. So every time I'm wearing this shirt and I'm Snapchatting this and that and everything else, because back then I literally would snap my entire day, which is kind of how the brands got built. But everybody was like, man, where's that shirt on the site? We don't see it. We can't find it. So long story short, we end up dropping in, we called it the CEO line because, you know, it was like the shirt that I made and like being the CEO. I was like, this is going to be the CEO line. And it's black and gold. It's very gaudy. Like, this is what we're doing. So we dropped LMLML under Skulls and Barbells. And it literally did so well. We started doing like different items, different, you know, articles of clothing, like different accessories. And like, no matter what we did, we put LMLML on it. Gone. Sold out. So we literally just recently started expanding and brought LMML out of Skulls and Barbells and made it its own brand. So that actually drops tomorrow at 12 o'clock.
Exciting.
The LMML, that's how LMML got started. So now LMML is its own brand, basically, and it's a more of a kind of standalone, do your own thing.
Yep.
Like, don't worry about what other people say. Yep. Focus on you. Stay your own path.
It's a strong message.
Not necessarily anti-society, but like anti-society's norm. Mm. So when society's like, well, everybody should do this, you can't put everybody in one category. So like, you have a lot of people that like to do their own thing and venture out. And of course, like, you have your entrepreneurs, you know, you have your people that might have a hobby that other people aren't really into. Like, there's things out there that people do that they need to have a group of people that believe in the same thing, where it's like, bro, step outside the box. Do what you, if that makes you happy, that's what you should do. Because if you have 5 or 6 other people saying, well, you shouldn't do that, but this is what makes you happy.
Exactly.
You're going to go with what makes you happy, or go with what 5 or 6 other people are telling you? Like, you're going to go with what makes you happy.
Yeah.
So that's where LMML came from, to kind of like stand your own ground and for your own beliefs and stuff.
Awesome.
And then the touch on my body, my lifestyle, how that is. That basically, a lot of the plans that I do for the training are all coached. So I have a bunch of athletes. They check with me every week or every couple of days, depending on where they are. and it's all coached. So I'm literally overseeing their training, their nutrition, their cardio, their supplements, like everything. Some people can't afford coaching. Some people don't really like to be coached. It's not for everybody. But now we have a program called My Body, My Lifestyle, which is a 12-week challenge that you basically purchase from mybodymylifestyle.com, and it comes with a macro calculator that I put together. It comes with a list of 100 foods that you can use for the program, and then it comes with a 43 or 44 page packet that literally tells you how to coach yourself on your own fitness journey.
Interesting.
So what you do is you purchase this, you get all your stuff, you put all your information on the macro calculator, you hit enter, it gives you everything you need, you match your intake for the day that it gives you to the foods list I have, and then there's a 40 page packet that explains to you how to work all of this on your own, so you don't have to have a coach. You can coach yourself. And then it explains when you hit a stalemate what you do, you hit a plateau what you do. Also comes with the 12-week training program. So basically you're getting a 100% do-it-yourself kit to build your best physique on your own. So there's a lot of science behind it, a lot of late nights behind it, a lot of, you know, just personal experience and everything else that's been put into this packet is super, super dope. So those are the four brands that I oversee. I literally just this year I got a personal assistant. We're now looking for a warehouse. So we're starting to grow as things go on. So a lot of the goals that we've set for 2019 are going to be really, really cool. So I'm really excited. It's going to be a really good year.
Oh, I feel my God.
You know, even though, depending on how you look at it, you know, 2.5 years as an entrepreneur, it's a short amount of time, but it's also a lot amount of time. You know what I mean? So it really just kind of, on your insight, kind of what you, kind of how you feel with time frame. I feel like 2.5 years is, I wish I was where I'm looking at for 2019.
Right now. Yeah.
But like, again, everybody has that mindset. You always want to
You want to be hungry.
Right. You always want to be hungry. So I tell people all the time, you know, never satisfied, but always hungry. And so 2019 is going to be, should be a really good year. We usually try to keep 3, 6, and 9 month goals.
That's awesome.
So the warehouse is our main focus point right now. So we're hoping by May or so, 2019, we'll be locked in on that. And that's awesome. When we really think things are going to ramp up. So.
Oh, that's crazy. That's a lot to have gotten done in like 2.5 years.
It is, but you know, once you start focusing on something
and you committed yourself.
Exactly. 100%. That's the thing, it's commitment. And
when
you commit yourself 100% to something, you know, and you run it, you can do whatever you want, you know, because you don't have anybody saying, oh, you can only run one brand, you can only work 8 hours a day, you can only work Monday through Friday. Like, as an entrepreneur, there's no cap. So, like, I mean, next week, I don't know, I might have a fifth brand. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? You're always thinking. You're like, oh, that's such a great idea. Why has no one thought about that? Oh, well, but you also have to make sure, and this is where I get in a lot of trouble, is I want to do 12 or 15 different things at once because I just that's how my mind works. But I have these four projects right now that I'm just trying to focus on all four of those. And, you know, splitting the time between all four in a week period, or even to get it in a day, that's very, very hard. And especially running the four brands, and then
They're all running, starting off right now.
And they're all like, starting off. And then, like, you know, the hard thing is, you know, all the athletes I have are coached athletes. So, like, I'm all, you know, every day I'm dealing with check-ins with that, plus keeping the brands afloat. So, you know, I rep Team No Sleep a lot.
I've seen your social media. You're constantly working.
That's insane. Really funny, though, because you'll be surprised how many followers on Instagram are concerned with, like, my sleep and my health. Because, like, I'm snapping or I post a photo and they're always like, hey, you know, is everything okay? I feel like you need some more sleep. Like, oh my God, you never sleep. Very interesting. It's very interesting how many people love to comment about that.
Yeah.
But it's good, though, because when you're out there and you're working these brands and, you know, social media, oh my God, like, the tool is amazing. You know, I mean, you can use it for good and you can use it for bad, you know, and it just really is that fine line on, you know, what you want to use social media for. But I'm a very firm believer, and I try to preach all the time, use social media as a positive platform.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people out there that use it for a negative platform, and it just kills me. Like, I don't.
You have full control, but that's a good thing about it, you know, because you can influence people in a positive way.
Which is what everybody
should. You know, it's crazy to me because, like, you're so ambitious. Like, you're crazy. Like, your mindset, like, you're just thinking about that next thing, how you can improve things and all of that. But for the majority of your life, you lived in a setting that was really structured, right? So it was like a corporate job, and then you were a police officer, or you were a sheriff's deputy. So tell me about that, like, because you were in the Citadel.
I was. So, real quick, I want to go back just a little bit early on in life. Like, so my dad was a Marine, and my mom was a nurse. Mm-hmm. So I literally was born into, like, the most all-American family you could have. We lived on the eighth hole of a golf course. Literally, no bullshit, had a white picket fence, American flag, you know, I have a sister, and we had a black lab.
Awesome.
So, like, literally, like, I grew up from day one as, like, the all-American family, you know what I mean? Like, mom, dad, sister, brother, black lab, white picket fence, American flag, golf course, like, you know what I mean? I didn't even own a pair of jeans until I was, like, probably out of college, because I was always like, you have to wear khakis and a polo shirt and everything else. So, everything was very, very regimented growing up. But that's where all my core values came from. Mm. Because, you know what I mean? I mean, my parents were very, very old school. Very, very just all-American. Very, very stern. Very, very, like, they praised you when you needed to. They got in you when you did wrong. You know what I mean? Like, they were very, very, very good parents. I'm very fortunate for the way that they brought me up. And then, of course, like, I didn't want to go to the college prep school that they sent me to for high school, but I'm glad they did. I didn't want to go to the military college necessarily, but, like, that's, well, it was my options. They wanted me to go to college. So I was like, well, if we're going to go, we're going to go to a military college, and that's how that went. So all of that kind of led to where I am right now. And then I believe, because I'm a very firm believer on mindset.
Yeah.
And I think that starts very early on, and that's who teaches it to you. So I'm very fortunate that my dad taught me a lot of the mindset, the values that I do have today. But to go to the law enforcement side, probably, in all honesty, I love what I do right now. I've loved every profession that I've had, but my heart and my soul is law enforcement. Like, I mean, that job was the best job I ever had. That job right there, I swear, has taught me almost everything I needed in life to be where I am right now. Because right out of college, you know, 21 years old, I'm now dealing with everybody's problems.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So you have this 21-year-old kid who's just like, I hated school, but I love to be active. So, like, being a cop was, like, the perfect job for me, you know? Like,
yeah.
It was just, it was great because I was outside. I was, you know, running around the county. I was going to a different house every hour or so on a different call. So instead of sitting in an office and just being, like, bored out of my mind, I'd go to a domestic and I'd handle that, and then I'd get sent to, like, a barking dog call. And then from the barking dog call, I got sent to, like, I don't want to hang up. And then it was, like, a fight. And then it was, like, a stolen purse.
A cat in a tree.
And, yeah, the cat in a tree and everything, right? So it was, like, it was very cool because for someone like me, like, that ADD mindset that's just, like, I can't focus on one thing at a time, it was a perfect job for me because, like, you go to one scene, close it, go to the next one, and everything's different. So that job was, like, perfect for me. And I just really loved it. Like, the amount of responsibility you had at such a young age, the amount of confidence you had to, like, have in yourself and your peers at such a young age, the amount you had to actually think and try to process at once being a police officer, because you're getting so much information at once, you know, and you're running so many different scenes and scenarios. So that job right there taught me so much about myself. And I think the number one thing that it taught me was confidence. You know, like, you go to a scene by yourself, say a domestic, and you have a husband and a wife, and they're screaming and yelling, and, you know, one's threatening someone else with a knife, the other person's got a bat, and you're, like, you're there by yourself waiting for your partners to get there, and you're like, I mean, do I grab one? Do I wait for my partner? Do I have to fight someone? Do I
think
tell them they're
feet.
Under arrest? Like, you have to, exactly, have to think on your feet that whole time. Yeah. When you're young like that and you have all your responsibility, you learn very fast.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that job. The only reason I left was because I got offered another position to go overseas. And, you know, one, yes, it was a lot of money to go over there, but it was like, it was a change of profession. And I was doing the police officer for a while. And, like, I just, you know, all my friends that were in the military were getting deployed. And I just felt like it was time to kind of move on. So when I got recruited to go to this course with Dine Corps International, I end up leaving law enforcement. But law enforcement, to this day, I tell you all the time, was the absolute hands down number one job that, like, I love. Like, I love to death. The number one question I get all the time when I say that, they're like, well, why are you not a cop right now?
Yeah.
And I actually got rehired by the sheriff's office when I left, or when I came back from Iraq. But they wouldn't budge with me on pay. They were like, they wanted to bring me on lower than what I did when I left. And I thought that was unfair. So I literally waited it out to the day I needed a report after I got hired. And like, they still weren't budging. And I talked to finance or human affairs on the phone. And they weren't having it. And I was like, all right. So I was like, you can give this position to someone that's fresh out of the academy that needs it. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
So I moved up to Maryland with my parents for a little bit. Put my house on. I rented my house out. And then that's when I started like looking for some like, you know, other professions and everything like that. And then when I end up getting ready to go back overseas, the one company here in Arlington, OGS, they actually had reached out to me when I was in Iraq to recruit me. And that started to go through. And I was in the process to actually applying for other law enforcement jobs when this actually came in and landed. And the clearance went through and, you know, I was waiting for a couple months and that happened. And then that's how I end up coming to D.C. So
interesting.
That's when I got the position here with OGS, and that was right in the Diplomatic Security Command Center in Roslyn.
Oh, Roslyn.
And that was 2012 that I worked with them from 2012 to the middle of 2015. And then that was when I made the major leap, the biggest challenge of my whole life. The biggest
challenge of your whole life.
Leaving the corporate world, basically, or working for somebody to working for yourself.
That's insane. What made you make that jump? Like, that's a big move.
It's a big jump. So, it's a scary jump, but it's worth it. So, you know, like I said, I was kind of coaching on my own a little bit. And when I was working for the State Department, I was kind of, you know, doing that task. And I was a supervisor there. And I had 13 people at the time, local, or, you know, here at the State Department annexes that we worked. And then I had a couple people overseas that we monitored for deployments. And while I was doing that, and I'm coaching on the side, it was very manageable, and it worked in the beginning for about a year or so. It was, or 2 years or so. It was good because I could manage both of it. But then when I started getting more and more and more athletes, and I started kind of pushing Instagram a little bit more, and I was kind of really having fun with like building this team and like getting the hats and the shirts and the ropes and everything we were talking about doing, it was like I was building my own brand at the time. But didn't know I was building my own brand. I was just like trying to put a team together to give people an outlet to be with, you know, people that did the same thing they did. So, you know, in bodybuilding, it's very individualistic. It's like, it's you. Like, you diet, you train, you compete. Like, it's not like you don't go to practice. Like, you don't meet with a team. You don't do stuff like that. But I wanted it to be like that because I came from team environments my whole life. Like, you know, they always, you know, joke, they say teamwork makes the dream work. And it does, because you can only do so much by yourself.
Yeah.
And so as this started to kind of grow, it got to the point where I was like, fuck, I can't manage working full time and managing all these people as a supervisor and dealing with all these athletes and trying to have a personal life. Like, it was too much. So got to the point where it was like, all right, what are you going to do? You're just going to quit coaching and just put everything into your job? Or you want to quit your job and put everything into building a brand. So there's a lot of sleepless nights trying to figure that out. And the one thing that literally made me make this change is I looked at it and I was like, okay, there's all these people that work for themselves, like around the world, right?
Yeah.
And you have a lot of people, especially here in the United States, that come from other countries. And, you know, everybody says this is the land of opportunity. And everybody, like, laughs at that. Like, it's so cliche. Oh, America, land of opportunity. But it's so true. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, okay. Everybody from all these other countries come in here, and, like, they're just killing it. Like, they come in here, and they get a job, or they open a store, or they open a brand, or they do whatever, and they're just really doing well. And I'm trying to think, I'm like, why? Like, why do they do so well? Well, you look at it, and it's like, well, when they come over here, because they're like, look, things aren't going well where I live or whatever, and I need opportunity, and I need to build things for my family or whatever, and then they come here. Again, land of opportunity, right? And they build a brand, they build a business, they do whatever, and they kill it. Why? Because they have no other option. Their back's against the wall. They make money, they make it work, or they don't, and they fail, and then they're just screwed.
Yep.
And you have a lot of people that try to do brands and they try to do this. And you talk to them about it. They're like, yeah, you know, like when I go home at night after my job and I do this and I do that. And then on the weekends, I kind of grind a little bit. But they have another job to fall back on.
Yep.
So exactly. If you don't grind Saturday and Sunday, it's all good, man, because your paycheck's coming in from your job. Mm-hmm. But these other people that don't have that, that are putting everything into it to work for themselves, they have to work all the time because if they don't, they fail.
Yep.
So I looked at that and I was like, that's the difference between people that make it and people that don't. It's people that make it have no option to make it. Mm-hmm. The people that kind of sort of like do something on the side, like they're not pressed for it. Mm-hmm. So like they might be a passion.
They're
comfortable. It's a very good word.
Yeah.
They might not be like crazy passionate about it. They might really love it, but they just work on it as like a hobby. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? If that's what needs to be done, if you have to go to be successful, you have to go all in,
yep,
then that's what I'm going to do. So when I made the decision to go all in, I was like, all right, how much money do I have saved up? How long can I go without getting paid? Yep. Like, what's the deal? Like, you know, how am I going to make this work? Yep. And I was doing really well coaching with my State Department job. And I was kind of using like coaching as like kind of like if I wanted to travel, I'd use the money for travel. Or like, you know, at first I took all the money I'd make from coaching and flip it back into the company and do like cheat nights with the team and pay for it here and there. Or I'd get like the new shirts or hats. I used to kind of put it back into the brand because I had another job. Like mm-hmm. I was making money to live on. So it was very stressful at first because I'm like, what if I make nothing? Like what if I quit and all of a sudden everybody quits on me? Like then what? So I was like, nope, just got to go all in. Like luckily, I can always go back at some point to be a police officer. Like if I always get back in the content. I can always do something, you know? And I was like, all right. So I went ahead and I left and I took my suits that I had because with the State Department, it was a coat and tie job. So I took all my suits and ties and everything else and I gave them the Goodwill. And I went like a couple days later and I got the outsides of my hand tattooed.
That's insane.
And the left one is CEO, obviously, because I'm CEO of the brand. And then the right one is LMLML for Let Me Live My Life. So I was like, if I get my hands tattooed, I can never, even if I wear a suit, coat, tie, whatever, they're still visible. And a lot of people, like, they have a tattoo policy. Nothing below the cuffs, nothing outside the neck, mm-hmm. whatever. So I'm like, well, if I get my hands tattooed, I can't get back to the corporate world. Like, I'm all in at this
point.
That's
insane. Yeah, so, no backing out.
So I did that, and that's kind of was my big push at that point. I'm like, okay, well, now I'm all in.
I can't imagine you were getting your hands tattooed, and you're like, wow, like well, this means so much right now. Yeah,
like, it was a big step just, you know, I'm very heavily tattooed. I love tattoos. But it was the first set of tattoos I got that like anybody could see. Because mm-hmm. even when I was with the State Department, there's people that I worked with there that never even knew I was tattooed. Mm-hmm. Because I was in a coat and tie, you know? Mm-hmm. So not only that, but now I'm like, oh my gosh, now I have to face my parents with my hands tattooed. Because they were like, we don't care what you do, just don't get your hands, your face, or your neck tattooed. I'm like, all right, cool, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So they got my hands tattooed. So then I was like, oh, so mom, dad, like, hey, I'm like in my mid-30s, and I'm like scared to tell my parents like, I got my tattoos, you know? But then again, you know, it's ironic because it's like, well, you can't be afraid. You have LMLML, which stands for Let Me Live My Life, tattooed on your hand.
You
like,
got to embrace it.
So at this point, you have to embrace it and live your life, dude. Yep. Like, you have to just own it.
You're like, mom, let me live my life.
I'm owning it, which is actually really funny now because whenever I go home and I see my parents, I'm really close to my family. I think family is very important. So whenever I go home, if my sister and I are like in a debate or we talk about something, whatever, my mom will always chime in. And like, if I'm not agreeing with like my sister or like my dad or somebody, you know, my mom will chime in and be like, Ryan, you just let your sister live her life. Or she'll be like, just let me live my life.
Oh,
like,
that's
so
funny.
Like now my whole family is like LMLML all the time. So everybody. It's pretty funny. So,
wow. But, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's kind of how that got started. And then once that happened and I'm like,
you're all in.
I'm literally basically, I was like, am I unemployed or am I employed? Like, I'm working myself. How does that really like work? Like, self-employed? Like, I don't, you know, it's new. So I was like, this feels really weird. But I was like, all right, well, now it's up to me, you know? And like, it was weird because coaching and then working a full-time job, it's like you kind of fit it in when you could, right? Mm-hmm. But now I'm at a point where I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have to go to this job. Like, I wake up and like, what do I do?
Yeah.
So like now you have to, it's hard because now you have all this time to put everything in, but now you have to start organizing your own schedule, figuring out how you're going to get paid, figuring out what your next step is. Like, and at this point, now that I'm, you know, in it to win it and I'm all by myself, there's like, okay, well, I can't just be stagnant. Like, now I have to, like, grow. Yeah. So I need to get, like, more athletes. I need to get better at coaching. I need to think about maybe there's other ways to make money if I need to, like, make money or whatnot. So that's where the mind
starts. You were starting to think, and did you, like, read books or listen to podcasts or stuff like that to kind of give you an idea of what, where to start? Because you completely just made that switch, like, from one day to the next.
I didn't do any books. I didn't really do much research. I kind of just, like, went with the flow. And in all honesty, I was new at the point on Instagram. So I'm like, well, now I guess I need a platform. Because I didn't have a platform before. So I opened up Instagram, started kind of playing with Instagram. I didn't really know much because I had, like I was saying before we started the podcast, like, my Instagram was mine and my business. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, super confusing. But I thought it was, like, the coolest thing ever. Because I, like, just started. I'm like, oh, my God, I got Instagram. Like, this photo is so dope. He's got, like, 10 likes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I thought I was, like, killing it. You know what I mean?
He's got 2 comments.
Exactly. Oh my God, someone just commented. I'm like, oh my God, this person has, like, 100 followers. Like, holy shit, I got, like, 10. This is cool, cooler. Like, I had no idea what was going on, you know? But I was enjoying it. I was having fun with it. Yeah. And I think that's the number one thing. That I contribute a lot of, like, the success for me to where I am is that I've always had fun with it along the way. Yeah. You know, and
you're a positive person.
You have to be. Yeah, you know, because I'm a very firm believer that, like, what you put out, you get back. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you put out positive vibes, mm-hmm. you're going to get them back, you know? And the hardest thing to do, and again, this is where falling back on being a police officer kind of helped, is, like, even when you're fed negativity, you got to figure out a way to turn it around into positive. Mm-hmm. So you can't let other people talk ill to you. I mean, you can, but, like, you can't let yourself go back at it. You can't let yourself go, okay, well, you're being negative with me, so now I need to be negative with you. Like, you just need to find a way to, like, keep that positivity. Like, mm-hmm. don't let outside influences kind of change who you are. Yeah. And that's the hardest thing, I think, because when you're dealing with social media, when you're dealing with just the way society is right now, like, there's a lot of negativity out there. And a lot of people like to sit there and they take their time out of their day to be negative on other people's...
On, like, Facebook posts and all of that. You see that. Instagram posts, like, long-ass DMs, posts.
Like, and it's just like, if you would take half the amount of energy it took you to slam my last photo, like, you could be out there building your own brand or spreading positivity or doing something. That, you know what I mean?
Effort.
And exactly, like, when you take effort and you push it out negative, it's just
bad news, out. Yeah.
But I'm a big firm believer in, like, karma and stuff like that. So, just let these people it'll come back around to them at some point. But you just can't let that affect you as a person because you have a certain persona to keep up with. Or, like, you might, I mean, people see you all the time when you're on social media. So, like, you're real. You gotta, like, you're gonna have to show that at some point. But you just don't want to be negative about it, you know? So I do try to be very, very positive. As much as I can, but I'm also very fortunate. Like, I look at being able to do what I'm doing as, like, a luxury. Like, I'm in the greatest country in the world, and, like, I'm allowed to do whatever I want. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I can run my own business. Like, yeah, that's freaking awesome.
And you can, I mean, it can escalate, it can grow as much as you can.
Well, and that's how one thing. It's like, you know, I was talking to one of my buddies the other day about entrepreneurship and everything, because I have a lot of friends now that are entrepreneurs. Because, you know, like, just like, you know, like, when you're looking for a car, and they're like, oh, I want to go from a Honda Civic to a Jeep. Well, now, every day you're out, all you see is Jeeps, Jeeps, mm-hmm, Jeeps, Jeeps, mm-hmm, Jeeps, because it's in your head.
Yep.
So now that I'm, you know, being the entrepreneur route, a lot of people that I, like, meet or hang out with or connect with are now entrepreneurs. Exactly. It's just, I happen to run into them more now because that's what I'm doing. And it's just very cool to kind of put all that into perspective and see literally how much positivity there is out there, and that there's have so many people that are trying to share it, and that's what's super cool. That's what's really motivating to me. It's just the fact that there's so many people out there that want to do good, that are being positive, and it's just very, very cool thing to witness. And I think a lot of people don't see that when they work, like, a 9-to-5, because they're all stuck in a certain place and they're around the same people. And, you know, I'm very fortunate. Like, I travel a lot and, like, I meet a lot of people, and I love to network. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm all about good people. You know, and I get slammed sometimes because, like, I'll rep other brands or I'll support other companies or whatever, and people find that odd, and I'm like, I don't, because, like, these other brands or companies or friends that I'm supporting are supporting me in the same time.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I can do something to build somebody else's brand, How would I not? Like, it doesn't, we're all in this thing together. Like, you might have a different idea or a different route or a different way you want to handle something, but at the end of the day, we're all trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, and also at the end of the day, it's like the people that you draw to your brand, and this is like big for me too, like self-branding, it's about what you're portraying. So if you come off as somebody who's selfish or somebody who's always me, 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 people aren't necessarily going to care for what you're trying, that message that you're trying to give, you know? So if you're coming off as somebody, hey, you know, it's like good vibes for everyone, I'm not trying to just get all the attention here, it's people are going to, they're going to dig that and they're going to love what you're,
I agree.
And not only the message, but also your content, like everything, you know?
It's all about that. And you know, I tell people all the time, some people believe me, some people don't, some people question it, but so if you're negative, only certain people are going to actually feel your negativity. But if you're positive, everybody's going to feel positivity.
Everybody.
So, like, why not be positive?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I tell people all the time, like, I get people, a lot of my athletes say this, they're like, you know, I just love that you're always so positive, and, like, you're here and you're there, and I just, I can talk to you, and, like, you know, it's just, it's always positive. And, like, if I need it, you got it. And I'm like, yeah, but I also came from such a different background, like, with the positions and that I've had and the jobs I've had to what I'm doing now are completely different.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen a lot of just negativity, a lot of bullshit, a lot of death, just a lot of shit that just is not necessarily like in a positive light. You know what I mean? Like, you know, a police officer, contractor overseas, like all the things that I saw during this time frame, it's just like I don't want to be involved in a lot of that because it's so negative. And like being around the world, you see this like, people don't care about life. They could care less about positivity, or it's sad to see these things happen. And then, like, as a police officer, you just see a lot of like negativity, a lot of rundown people and families, and it's sad.
Yeah.
So like, I've seen enough of that.
Yeah.
That I just want everything now to be positive.
Yep.
Like, with anything that I can do to create positivity or pass positivity on, I'm all about
mm-hmm.
it. Because I've already seen enough of the negative crap. I don't want that anymore.
Yeah.
So,
but you like that environment though for you, it's interesting because it's so negative and some people would take it like it would affect them. But for you, like you thrived in it because I feel like innately you have this positive perspective to life.
Well, I do because I think I've seen so many people that don't.
Yeah.
That I'm like, man, like, I don't want to live my life like that. Like,
yeah.
How can anyone want to live a life like that?
Yeah.
So, you know, like even when I was a police officer, I policed a lot different than a lot of police officers, I think. And my mentality, even as a cop, was to help, was to fix things. So, you know, I worked with a lot of good cops, worked with a lot of bad cops. Like, I mean, it is what it is. Like, that's just reality. But I was always trying to fix a situation. So, like, for me to just give someone a ticket and be like, all right, cool, this is your fine, see you in court, I'm like, that doesn't do a goddamn thing for anybody except make people mad and hate the police.
Exactly.
So, like, you know, the easiest thing I used to get all the time that I used to always do is say, for instance, and obviously things are a lot different now with the world, is, you know, marijuana is getting legalized all over the place, but
mm-hmm.
when I was a police officer, like, it wasn't legal anywhere, so, like,
mm-hmm.
it was, you had marijuana, like, that was bad news. And I used to get a lot of young kids in Charleston that would have weed, and, like, not a big deal, not the you know, I mean, it's not crack, it's not heroin, people aren't, like, doing all this crazy stuff for it. But
yeah.
at the time, like, marijuana was marijuana, you know? So I used to get kids all the time that were under 18 that would have it.
Okay.
And I'm like, look, I'm not just going to write this kid a ticket and take him to jail and tell his parents and go through this whole process and then just ruin this kid's life
mm-hmm.
before he's even 18, where he hates cops. So, like, I used to get kids all the time, and I'd get them with, like, simple possession of marijuana. And I'd write him a ticket for it because you had to. It was an offense you had to write a ticket for. But I would say, all right, dude, look, this is your court date. No, a month out, 4 months, or 4 weeks out, a month and a half out, whatever. I'm like, look, if you can write me a 2-page essay on why marijuana is bad and why you shouldn't be buying marijuana as a 17-year-old kid in this area, and it's sincere, the ticket's gone, I'm not notifying your parents,
what?
And you're not going to jail. And I'll just hold that ticket. I wouldn't even take it to court.
What?
And literally within like a week, I only had like one or two people that just didn't do it. But I'd get these essays, and I'd sit there. They'd come to the station, they'd give them to me, or they'd call the station, and I'd go to their house and I'd get it from them. They usually would come to the station because they didn't want their parents to know. And I'd read this, you know, 2-page essay or whatever you would call it. Or sometimes, like, if the kids were really shy, I'd have them read it. Because I want them to, like, to learn from this.
Mm.
So there wasn't, I think there was one essay I got that was just complete BS that, like, didn't work out for them. But everybody else, like, you know, I mean, probably we're talking about close to 60, 70 people maybe, that's, you know, that I did this with. But like every person I did that with was like, so I'm not going to jail? I'm not getting a ticket? I'm not getting a fine? I'm like, no, bro, like I told you, write this essay and it's sincere. Wow. We're good.
Wow.
So they did that. And like, but see, now they're walking away with a positive outlook.
Exactly.
Man, like.
What an impact.
This dude could have arrested me, but instead like, I had to write him this bullshit 2-page essay. It took me 5 minutes and I didn't get anything. So like, now he's 18 years old at this point. They have no record. Like, they're good to go.
Yeah.
And, like, it might not have changed their whole life.
No, but you made
an impact.
But at
least it made somewhat of an impact for a certain period of time. So that's kind of how I policed. So, you know, I see guys a lot of times that had, say, like a suspended license or they had like 6 unpaid tickets. Well, for every unpaid ticket, it's like a $475 fine. Uh-huh. So you have 4 unpaid tickets. Now you're getting 4 tickets on top of that and now your license is suspended. Are you mad or are you happy? You're pissed because now you got to pay all this money. You're already 4 tickets behind and you have no license. And you're getting ready to go to jail because of all this. So what I used to always do, same thing with the kids with the marijuana, is I'm like, all right, dude, look, this is a shit ton of money. I'm not putting you in jail over this because it's just going to make your life miserable. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to write you a ticket for every single unpaid ticket you have plus the no license. You're going to have somebody come pick you up, another person come get your car, not taking you in jail. By the court date, I want you to pay off all these tickets, get your license reinstated, and if everything's good to go, all these tickets get dropped and come to court. Because now, instead of this guy having, you know, thousands of dollars of extra fines, he has homework. He's got to go. He's got to go to the DMV. He's got to go to the courthouse. He's got to get his license fixed. He's got to pay these fines. Yeah. He's got to cut some of the money out of his Christmas funds account to pay this or pay that. Like, he's got a lot of work to do.
Yep.
So why am I going to have him go through that and then take him to jail on top of it? Doesn't make sense to me. But if I did it that way, then they come to court and they're like, Mr. Wade, look, I paid all 4 tickets. Here's my clean license. It's all reinstated. I'm good to go. And they show me all the proof of it. I dismissed our case right there in front of the judge. And
you dismiss it?
Yep, right there in front of the judge.
Wow.
Because they took care of it.
Yeah.
They so put now in their they're work. Like, oh my God. Like, seriously? Like, now they have a license.
Yep.
They didn't get arrested. They didn't have to pay all these fines. Mm. They took care of what the county needs them to take care of anyway. I just did it a different way. Instead of just being like, okay, you have to go to jail and you have to pay all these 4 tickets plus the 4 you didn't pay before, and then you have to wait X amount of time to your license reinstated. To me, that just makes people hate the police.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not gonna lie.
In the system, it's just like it makes no sense. Yeah, it makes no sense to them.
So for me, policing was trying to find a way as a police officer around the system to make it work.
To make a difference
for society, because I want to make a difference.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be like that cop that was just like, you're going to jail, you're doing this, that's not fun to me. Like, bro, I don't care if you have a license or not. I have my license.
That's friggin' awesome.
I want you
High
to have
five.
It. You know what I mean? Like, I want you to have it. So that's kind of the mindset that I had as a police officer, you know? And I made a very good name for myself for that, you know? And
you respect it, I'm sure.
It's funny because I still have a lot of people that that still work at the sheriff's office I'm really good friends with. And they, you know, call me all time. Like, they're like, hey, bro. So I ran into, like, and we used to have, like, nicknames, you know, for, like, street names for all, like, the guys we arrested or interacted with and stuff. And a lot of these kids, like, still ask about me to this day. My boy's like, bro, we just talked to Turtle. And, you know, and it's funny, we called this guy Turtle because I had a 19-minute and 22-second foot chase with this guy. And I called him. I mean, it's like, it was forever. But I was like, bro, you're so slow. You're like a turtle. I don't know why I said it, but his nickname on the street was Turtle at that time. So they still call him that to this day.
Interesting.
And I was basically just talking shit. I'm like, oh, you know, I called you. You're so slow, blah, blah, blah. But he went to me. It was like 20 minutes. And he actually got caught by the dog. He got bit by the dog, not me. But like, you know, I earned a lot of street cred as a cop because of the way I policed, you know, because
you're fair.
You know, I wanted to be very fair.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't tell you how many times I either got like in a foot chase or a fight or something else. And, you know, of course, they're talking shit to me. I'm talking shit back to them. Like, you know, I mean, we're out in the street. Like, things are happening. But then by the time we get to the jail, they're like, it was cool.
Mad respect, bro.
Like, yeah, they're like, yeah, mad respect, bro. Like, I got you. And then, like, you know, you see them in the street the next day. And they're like, yo, you know, you're like, all right, man. It's like, stay out of the, you know, you're good.
Yeah.
Just whatever. And, like, so.
Wow.
But I also was very stern, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, when it came time to, there's some situations, like, that you're in that, like, you got to be stern. You gotta be a cop. You know what I mean? Mm. So, but I loved it. Like, I loved the good. I loved the bad. Like, I loved all that. And I think my favorite thing about being a cop is we used to have the sheriff's office. And then we can go back to entrepreneur stuff. No, I'm like, man, this is the best job ever. Let's just talk about being a cop forever. We used to have this thing called a running shoe. So when you would get in a foot chase and an apprehension and you actually apprehended the guy, you would get what's called a running shoe. And it would be like, the Sheriff's Office did award ceremonies every month. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the year, they give you like, they had like yearly awards. You get invited to like the big Sheriff's Office dinner and stuff. And I used to get, I don't even know why, but like everybody wanted to run for me. All the time.
From you?
From me. But I love cardio and I love to run. So like when Negro was on, I'm like, all right, well, bro, like
you're one of, it's a, on. You're one of a kind bodybuilder.
Right? And so I ended up getting, you know, I would get running shoe after running shoe after running shoe, and to the point where like I was invited to the Sheriff's Office Award Dinner yearly because I was getting running shoe of the year so much, because I was getting so many running shoes. And that was probably one of the coolest things to me, because like I didn't take the job, I mean, I took it serious, but like I didn't take it personal. But like to me, the foot chases were personal, because I'm like, look, I compete, I go to the gym every day. These dudes are just hanging out, not doing anything, committing crime, smoking weed, whatever. And if they outrun me, I feel pretty fucking bad. So yeah. I used to always make it a point to like, no matter what happens, like, I gotta catch this guy. So yeah. I got to the point where like if I wasn't catching him, like if I checked back on the radio and the guy was gone, like everybody was like calling, hey bro, so like you slow today or like. What's wrong? But I remember when I was when they gave you these coins for the running shoe, they would give you a decal of a tennis shoe to put on your the back of your cruiser. So kind of like imagine, like, I don't know anything about football, but you know like when the guys have those like stickers on the back of the helmets for football for like.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like that. So the back of your car has these running shoes on it. So we used to get these little decals, and I remember when I had one of my tattoo appointments, I finished my sleeve. And my artist was like, hey, bro, like, I had, like, an hour before my next client. Like, is there anything you want to get done? And I'm like, no. Like, you know, I got to always plan my tattoos out. Like, I'm not just like, oh, let me just get that picture on the wall and put it on my guy. Like, I'm not going to do that. But I was like, no, I'm good. Actually, I was like, you know what? No, I know what I want. And I drove my cruiser to that appointment that day. So I went out and I peeled off one of the running shoes. And I actually got both of the running shoes tattooed on the ankles right there on like a little slant, if you can see it.
Yeah.
So like that slant is kind of like always in motion. So like you're always running with the bag.
Always moving.
Always kind of moving in the right direction. Kind of like,
love it. Yeah. That's awesome.
But everyone asks out of all the tattoos, like, what's your favorite tattoo? I'm like, those because they mean so much more than anybody else, because they're very symbolic.
Yeah.
So I think that's another thing that always keeps me kind of
keeps you going
because I'm always thinking like, okay, you know, like everything's a foot chase. Like you gotta always get to the end. You gotta always win. You gotta always get here. You gotta always get there. You gotta always be everybody.
You were just born to freaking kill it in life and make an impact on others.
I love it. It's fun.
You definitely are. Fun. Wow, that's amazing. So all of that, that's this mindset though. I mean, I can see it, like this growth mindset and this like just perseverant mindset that you have. It's like taking you so far. And now like 2.5 years into your business and you already built up 4 different branches.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing stuff.
It's fun.
That's awesome. I love it. I really appreciate all of this information that you're bringing in and all to all the listeners. I mean, like it's just, like I said, mindset, that perspective in life and just kind of going for it and having a positive perspective. It really is going to take you farther, because I feel like for a lot of people, if they see things in a negative view, like it's just like, I can't do that. Like that's too hard. Like that sort of mindset is just, it's inhibiting.
All about mindset.
It's inhibiting. Yeah. Right. And so if you're always saying, If you're not, like, even just being realistic, you can say, okay, well, it might not happen, but still just going for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that will make the world of a difference.
Well, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, because everyone's always like, you know, I want to get fit. I want to get do this, do that. And I tell people all the time, like, everybody that gets into fitness always wants to chase that perfect freaking body. Like, jacked, shredded, ripped, just whatever you want to call it. Everybody wants to chase it. But you know what? Anyone that chases that type of a physique, obviously, he's very dedicated to the grind, but you're never going to get it. I don't care how good you are. You're never going to get that perfect body. But even though we all know that, because even if we reach what in our mind was perfect, we would want more. We would want better. We would want to surpass that, because that the attitude and the mindset that got us to get to that perfect body is the same reason why that perfect body isn't going to cut it for us, that we want more. Like that's just the drive people have. But you're never going to get it. But that right there is what keeps everybody fueled. It's like when people get up in the morning and they're like, they're in prep or they're just trying to change their body or they're trying to do whatever. Like, I always tell them, just envision how you want to look. Like, I don't care about the dude or the girl on Instagram, the guy with like the jack, the barrel chest and the ripped abs, or the girl with like the crazy glutes. Like, that's cool to look at. Like, double tap the picture all you want. But like, don't want to look like that. Picture in your head what you want to look like and then chase that goal.
Exactly.
You'll never get it. I'm telling you that right now. You'll never get it. But driving towards that every day is what's going to make you better and better each day.
Use yourself as motivation.
You have to use yourself as motivation, you know? But it all boils down from mindset. Like, I'm a very firm believer, mindset, mindset, mindset. And I tell people all the time, if you want to have a positive mind, do something first thing in the morning, as soon as you get up, that's positive. Mm-hmm. So, like, for me, I train in the morning. Mm-hmm. Because if I start working as soon as I get up, you won't catch me in the gym because I'll be so locked into everything mm-hmm. I'm doing. I can't stop. So for me, I go to the gym. It's the one thing I do for me every day. It's positive because it sets the tone for the day. Yep. I have a good workout, and then I get home, and then it's just time to grind the rest of the day. So get up in the morning, do something positive. First do thing. Something that's for you, that should make you happy, mm-hmm. sets the tone
for the rest of the day.
For the rest of the day, you know? And, you know, also when it comes to mindset, like, not only do you want to have a positive mind, but to have a strong mind. Mm. You need to be very, very strong. Because you get a lot of people that will falter when it comes to, like, they have a mindset of, like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then someone else now comes in. Because in your head, it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. And someone else comes in and goes, oh, that's stupid. Oh, that's not going to work. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, I don't know if this is a really good idea. Whatever they want to say.
Yep.
If your mind's not strong enough to believe in yourself and you start believing in other people, you're not going to make it.
Oh, my God.
So you've got to be mentally strong. And
such a good point.
You know, one of my really good friends, who's a former Marine that I was actually roommates with when I was contracting, I'm still best friends into the day. Very, very crazy thing he used to say all the time is, you want to be strong-minded, you should do one thing a day that sucks. So one thing a day that you don't want to do, you should do. It helps strengthen
your mind. Oh, my God. It's that growth.
So it's just, you know, I'm like,
that,
you know,
discomfort.
I know people are like, oh, well, I'm just going to not go to work because I don't want to go to work. So no, that's no, what I mean.
Different.
Like, nobody likes taking a cold shower because it sucks. Mm. Okay, well, then every night take a cold shower and just build that mentality that, mm-hmm. like, it sucks, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to get through it. And then after a while, the more and more you do things that you don't want to do, you become comfortable doing the things you don't.
Yep.
You start building your strong mindset.
Or talking to strangers, right? Building, like, being at Starbucks or going in the elevator and then just striking up a conversation with a stranger.
Or, you know, I mean, that to me all the time. Like, you might not even say anything. Just smile.
Yeah.
Like, smiles are contagious. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if you smile, like, and they smile back, like, you're engaging, like, it's confidence, you know, and I mean, who's going to turn down a smile? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, but you're right. I mean, like, even you see strangers, especially here in the DMV, like,
oh my God.
Like, it's hard to talk to strangers because no one cares.
Exactly.
They don't. They're
they think
so,
you're weird.
They think you're very weird. You know, like,
they want something from me.
You hold the door for somebody and all of a sudden you're like hitting on them. You're like, I'm just being nice. Like, here. Like,
yep. No. Right.
Yeah,
but that's where it builds it up more because you're going to get rejected by people. People are not going to say, you know, good morning back to you, or they're not going to smile back at you.
And that's the thing.
And it's like you being able to continue that to the next with the next person is going
to build it back. You can't be afraid to fail. Like, in all honesty, if you want to be successful, you have to fail.
Yeah.
Because if you don't fail, you're not going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only thing that you really have to understand is that, like, you're gonna fuck up. Like, especially when you work for yourself, you don't know everything. Nobody does.
Yep.
You're gonna make bad decisions. You're gonna make ill choices. You're gonna do something in your mind that you think is awesome that's just gonna fail tremendously. But as long as you don't make the same mistake twice,
mm-hmm.
and you learn from that failure, you've now grown as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment you let these failures get to you, it's over, man.
Go, that's when it's
go
actually
back
a failure.
And work 9 to 5 where you have people tell you what to do. You know what I mean? But when you fail and you're like, damn, I do this all the time. I'm like, fuck, I thought that was such a good idea. Didn't work out for anything. I'm not gonna do that.
Well,
again.
It did work out for something. It worked out as a teacher, you know?
So, you know, as long as you're willing to learn from your mistakes and just don't make the same mistake twice, you're golden.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when you get discouraged, you know? And people laugh all the time. They're like, oh, you know, you see these memes. You know, it doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down, it matters how many times you get back up. Like, I mean, it's true. You know, like, there's no rule book that says you can only fail 30 times before you're just a complete failure. No, like, as long as you learn from your mistakes.
As long as you keep going.
You can fail as much as you want.
Yep.
Just be positive and learn something from it, and mm-hmm. you can grow as a person. It's when you stop believing in yourself because of these failures.
Exactly.
That's when you start to really
come That's when you're the real, it's the real failure.
That's
when
the
you
real
actually
failure.
Stop. When you actually mm-hmm. stop and you don't keep going and pursuing your dream.
Yeah. Well, when you decide to stop, then you're automatically just basically volunteering yourself to quit. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's just like, why? Why would you want to quit at anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, things might not work out, but it doesn't mean you quit. Like, that's just, again, back to mindset. That's just a poor mindset.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Like, you're completely right.
You don't want to do anything half-assed. Like, you want to do everything full-ass all the time. You always want to get away all the way. know, but you know, some people like they get a vision in mind or they want to do something and they're like, all right, well, I'm gonna give it a try. Like, no, do it. Like, make it happen.
Yeah, freaking awesome mindset. And I saw it from like the beginning. When you were just telling me about like your whole perspective going through like SWAT team, and it's like, I loved it. And it's like that sort of just perspective in life is going to take you so far. Yeah. And I see that already. And that's
amazing. You want everyone to, you know, like the one thing is like anyone that lives a positive life, if you don't try to pass that on in some realm, like you're really not doing anybody a good service.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you're negative, I want you to stay to yourself because I don't care about it.
Yeah,
but if you're positive, I want you to share it. I want you to put it out there. I want you to get as many people involved as you can. And I just want you to thrive off of it. Like, there's too much negativity out there for the quiet people to stay.
Stay quiet. And that's probably your kind of like your motto in life. But I am going to still ask you. So for like the final thought, right?
Yes.
So the final thought questions. The one that I chose for you was that if you were to have one message.
Is this going
to
be a tough question?
No.
Okay.
If you were to have one message that you want the listeners to take away from this episode today, what would it be?
I think a lot of people are afraid or scared to go all in. And I think if you have the right mindset and you want to drive towards a goal, keep that mindset very, very strong and do not veer off any path. Like if you have a goal, if you have a direction, go in it. Like, don't ever second guess yourself. Like, but if you can stay strong and keep that mindset, and just if you really want something bad enough and you just do whatever it takes to get there, it's going to work out. How fast or how long, that I cannot tell you.
Yep.
But if you stay at it and you persevere and you just keep rolling, and you stay the course, it's going to happen.
Awesome. You know? Love it. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Of course.
And I know everybody's going to benefit from your nuggets of wisdom.
I hope.
I did want to finish off with just giving everyone your contact information.
Of course.
So if you wanted to reach out to Ryan Blakely, you can reach out to his email at ryan@skullsandbarbells.com. His website is www.skullsandbarbells.com. And his Instagram is Skulls, so SKULLZ _CEO.
Yep.
Great. Well, thank you so much
for being here. I love being here. This is awesome. Thank you so
and
much.
And thank you guys for listening. Until next time. That concludes this episode. If you enjoyed it, feel inspired, and would like to hear more, please subscribe to the Relentless Minds podcast via the link in the show notes or visit LoriJimenez.com. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.